like Pastor Christian said, I'm going to continue on Stronger Families, Part 7. And it seems like we're doing a whole lot of this, but this has been an awesome series. I've really enjoyed, this series, and this has been really good. And as you know, my wife is pregnant. We're just days away now, so we're waiting anxiously for Lucy to arrive. I'll keep it to an hour, so if that happens, then anyhow, man, I'm excited to be here. I just always want to give honor where honor is due to our campus lead pastor, Pastor Stan and Kathy. She was here. I think she walked off with Christian's baby. I'm going to continue with our Stronger Families, as I just said. The last time I spoke, I talked about families being generational and thinking generationally from the aspect of, you know, how we raise our children, because we don't know who we're raising. We have no idea what's on the inside of them, the things that God has placed in them. And I believe that it's up to us as adults, but also like as parents, because I'm about to find out here pretty quick. But, what exactly that is to help steer my child in the right direction so that they can find the answers that they're looking for, which ultimately come through God and from God. So I take it a very high responsibility to lead my family and to make sure that I'm doing everything the correct way so that my family is led the correct way. Me and my wife, obviously we talk a lot, but you know, a lot of the things that we've heard over this time, over these nine months and stuff like that is a lot of the stories that people tell about their pregnancies and, oh, we'll just wait, or, you know, oh, it's going to be like this, or, oh, you may do that, or, oh, you know what I mean? You kind of, people have stories about pregnancies and things like that, or even about kids and, you know, like, are you ready to lose sleep? You know, like, just stuff like that. But like where we've purposed our hearts is like we're excited about this new journey, and we're so there's no fear involved. There's no like doubts involved. So we've purposed our hearts specifically on God and through God, and that this is the only way we're gonna get through this. And though there may be seasons that are tougher than others, we're still gonna make it. You know, so that way, one day when we're encouraging other families, we can be like, look, it may be this way, but it doesn't have to stay that way. You know, because a lot of the times, you know, we think it's super spiritual to be like, that's not going to be us, you know, or you know what I mean? Sometimes we just think that people are so spiritual, but in reality, we're just denying that we have to be a certain way. We're just denying that this is how it has to be, because ultimately in life, that is not how it has to be, right? We get these things in our heads that this is how it should be, and we learn from other people that this is how things should be, but in reality, it's all what you set your heart on, what you set your mind on. And so we've purposed in our hearts that we're gonna build a strong family. We're gonna build a strong family, and that family is gonna be a part of this ministry and part of a healthy church. That's our goal. That's our mission right now as parents. Even before Lucy is born, is what can we do? How can we be better? How can we learn from people that have done this before? Right? And so that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but today, I was just following a little rant there. Today, I'm talking about the family of faith, and this is important. The family of faith is important because, you know, yes, we're talking about stronger families, but I believe that it takes a healthy family as a healthy church, it takes a healthy family in a church to be a healthy church, because we're all family, right? Now, we may not be blood related, but in some way, in some form or fashion, we should all be relational with one another. We should build relationships with each other because we're family. Because being the church sometimes means calling somebody up and saying, hey, I need help. And then the church saying, okay, we're going to help you. Not, hey, call the church office and see what they can do. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not being the church. That's just being staff. No, let's be the church. Let's care for our church family. Let's truly be careful about the way that we treat one another, about the things that we say with one another, about the prayer groups that we get involved in, but all we talk about is gossip and how things can be better. And really and truly, in those groups, we should be changing and not staying the same. Right? So we're going to jump in here. the book of Hebrews. I'm going to kind of start where I left off the last time I spoke with you guys. And so it says in verse 11, "Now, all discipline seems to be more pain than pleasure at the time, yet later it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield it." So here's the thing about this right here, is that, you know, that God puts people in your life sometimes to help direct you in the right direction, right? Sometimes God puts a shepherd in your life to say, you're not doing things right. Is it always easy to hear things that you don't want to hear? It should be. It should. That's one of those things. It should be. Because if you realize it, it seems to be more pain than it is pleasure at the time. However, it will produce a transformation of character. Because that's the life that we're supposed to live anyway through Jesus, is to have a transformed life, to be shaped more and more into his image. And if we're not, then we're doing this all wrong. So it brings, oh, I'm sorry, can you go back real quick, Terry? My bad. Bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it. And that simply means those who just submit. Those who endure that correction. Those who endure sometimes that discipline. Sometimes it is correction. See, but what you have to realize is that you just have to yield to it. You just have to endure it. Just get through it. And it will transform who you are. Right? Verse 12. "So, be made strong." So, be made strong. Right? So, yeah, sometimes in life, sometimes, you know, when the pastor says things that just kind of steps on your toes, those are the things that people need to hear. If you feel like your toes are being stepped on, then that's probably something that you need to listen to and not get mad about. Right? Because here it says, "So be made strong, even in your weakness, by lifting your tired hands in murmuring and complaining." Oh, wait, no. It says, "In prayer and worship." I just wanted to make sure I was right. "And strengthen your weak knees. For as you keep walking forward," see, don't take three steps back because something happens that you didn't appreciate, right? "So keep walking forward on God's path, and all your stumbling will be divinely healed." See, there's things in our life, church, that we just need healing from. And so we need to let Jesus come into our lives as he should and do what his job is to do, and that's to heal our hearts, right? And so if we just keep moving forward, if we just take this correction and this direction and this training sometimes that the Lord gives us, not just through himself but through people, if we would just submit ourselves one to another, as Scripture says, and keep moving forward, then all your paths will be divinely healed. Verse 14, "In every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition, and run swiftly toward holiness, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord." Here's what that means. It means this, that people should see God in you. Plain and simple, right? Plain and simple. So if we do what we're supposed to do as a family, as a church body, and we choose peace over competition, then people will see God in us. You see, but if we don't do these things, church, and yet, like many churches, we've got people who backstab and backbite and murmur and complain because he said, she said this or that, or the pastor did something that I didn't like. How are people going to see God in you when that happens? Right? Because we're supposed to be that way everywhere, not just here. Right? So people should be able to see God on the inside of you simply by the way that you live. Simple. Choose peace over competition. Next scripture. Psalms 34:14, keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. See, so this is just another thing to back up the statement of choose peace. And if you notice in the scripture, it said, choose to make peace. Choose to make peace. What do? Just, Lord, just give me the patience. What do you think he's going to do? Just drop it in your lap? No, scripture says to choose to make peace. Choose to be patient. Make it your life motto. You practice it. See, it takes two to tango. Always. It takes two to tango, but it takes one to make peace. It only takes one. See, so I know that there's people sometimes in our lives that, man, we don't do so well together. Maybe there's people in the church that you just don't do so well together. It only takes one to make peace. So instead of waiting for the other one to do it, why not be the mature one and go do it? Right? Because we're family. Right? We're family in here. You see, but these are lessons that we can learn even in our families, in our blood families. You know how many families burn bridges with one another? Too many. Over stuff that in the light of eternity, it could matter the least amount. Right? So let's choose as God's people, as God's family, to make peace. Hebrews 12:15, continuing. Watch over yourself to make sure that you don't miss the revelation of God's grace. And make sure that you don't live with the root of bitterness. No? Okay, I'm going to read that again. All right. Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace. And make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of how many? Many. That means everybody, all of them. That doesn't make no sense, I know. But it will cause trouble and poison the hearts. You see, sometimes here's what we don't understand is that, you know, sometimes we get into these little Bible study groups, prayer groups, support groups, whatever you want to call them. This isn't everybody, but this could be some people. And it could just be you communicating with other people in the church. You get on these topics about things that you don't appreciate, things that pastor says that you don't like. Maybe you talk about the music. Maybe you talk about the video on the screen because pastor's not in the pulpit, but he's on the screen. But now all of a sudden, well, maybe you hear something about somebody else in the church. So did you hear so-and-so is doing this and yours? And then all of a sudden what happens is that you don't just poison yourself, but now you're spreading your offense and bitterness to other people. And in turn, everybody's getting poisoned. You see, church, we have to be careful because what you do in that moment is you position yourself to be easy prey. Right? So that scripture where it just said, does nothing but cause trouble. You ever wondered why things in your life don't go so right? But yet you still murmur and complain about things. And you still gossip and talk about people behind their backs. See, what you're doing is you're positioning yourself to be easy prey. You're positioning yourself for the enemy to come in and lie to you and steal, kill, and destroy your life. You're giving him all the power that Pastor Christian said. You're giving him the power to do the things that you have power over. Come on, church, don't sell cheap. Don't make yourself easy prey. Don't position yourself in murmuring and complaining to be attacked. Position yourself to do what's right. Position yourself as a son and a daughter and to stand firm and to be so much better than that. because we're a family. There should be no burned bridges in here. None. Next scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. Has anybody ever heard of Jesus being discouraged? No. Did Jesus, you know, in the garden, right before he's about to be crucified? Listen here, let me just give you an example. Man, I don't know, God. You know, Peter, he's just a backstabber. He's going to deny me, and you know what? Nobody's going to be there. I'm just going to be all alone, and think about Jesus saying things like that, right? Think about it. See, everybody's laughing because it's funny, right? Because it sounds foolish. But what do we do all the time? Right? You see, but here's the thing. The Apostle Paul telling the Philippians, look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with Jesus. Are you encouraged today, church? Because if not, then maybe you need to get your relationship right with Jesus. You are filled to overflowing with His comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt His tender affection and mercy. See, these are all things that we need in life so that we can deal them to others. But we can't do that if we don't have a relationship. Because if we don't have a relationship, then we don't have encouragement. Verse 2. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity. He's talking about us with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Verse 3, be free. Everybody say, be free.
Be free.
Good. Be free from pride-filled opinions. Notice it doesn't say be free from opinions. It says pride-filled opinions. Everybody has an opinion, but that doesn't mean that your opinion always needs to be heard. If I remember correctly, the book of Proverbs says the person who shuts his mouth sounds really smart, but the one who runs it is a fool. Everybody has an opinion, okay? But that doesn't mean that your opinions always need to be that one, right? For they will only, what? Harm your cherished unity. Our pride-filled opinions only harm our unity as a body, our unity as a church, as a family of faith. That's what happens. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put who? Others. When?
First.
How many of us put others first in our lives? Whoops. How many of us pray for green lights so that we can make it to work on time when we don't realize that somebody else's light is going to be red? Just think about it. Just simple things. Simple things. Right? Put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. I mean, it's in here. And all scripture is used for what? Doctrine, for training, for reproof. All scripture is used to teach us how to what? Live life. So if this is a shocker, then maybe we need to go back and start reading again. Right? Verse 4. Abandon some displays of selfishness. See, y'all are getting it. Abandon every display of selfishness. That means every single one. Why? Because your Christian life is not about you. Christianity is not about you at all. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Again, it's not about you. It's not even about what God can do for you. It's about what he can do through you. Right? Listen, church, Christianity is not about living forever when you die. Christianity is about dying so that you can live and you die to yourself. Living forever is simply just a benefit of who we truly are and who we should truly become. Verse 5. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. So, remember we were talking about modeling just a couple of weeks ago, right? We have to model for our children. We have to model for our families the life that should be lived, right? You know, growing up, listen, my dad, when we first started going to church, we were going to church in Brady. Every single day those doors were open, we were there no matter what, without fail. Hated it because we'd get up at like 6:30, drive to Brady, get there by a certain time, open all the doors, turn all the lights on. Me and my brother would go sleep on this couch while it was happening, and it was awful. It was awful. I'm just going to be honest, okay? We didn't appreciate it very much. You know, but at least that life was modeled for us. Because even then, even after we stopped going to church there, and then, you know, we got old enough, so we didn't have to go with my dad every other weekend. But he expected us to be in church. And when we didn't show up to church here, guess what? Exact words. Why weren't you in church today, son? You know what I mean? And it wasn't like a get in church. But my father understood the importance of being here. The importance of not making things matter more than what should matter the most. And he modeled this life of servanthood, of serving in the ministry, of being here. And now we do the same, right? So consider the example that Jesus has set before us. Consider the example that Jesus has set for us in a way that we should live so that when we do go out into the world, they see how they should be living. And that's not in a condemning way, but that's being love to one another, but also loving them as well, right? So consider that example. Model the life of Jesus and let his mindset become your motivation. Listen, you could pray a prayer, church, that gets you into heaven, but you can still be angry at your spouse. You can pray a prayer that gets you to heaven and have no transformation in your life, no renewed thinking. You can still be the same old person. Listen, you can purchase your fire insurance, but that doesn't mean that you're becoming like the one that you're supposed to become like. That's what our life is about, to model the life of Jesus, to let his mindset become our motivation. So that he lives through us, so that he moves through us and works through us, so that people see him on the inside of us. You see, and that's something that we have to do in here too. We come to church not to get. We don't come to church to have our needs met. That's not what it's about. Listen, we should come here to stir one another up into love and good works. And that's scriptural. We come here and do those things, and then we say, okay, now what can we do out there? Right? How do we model this life out there? And this is the purpose that this is what we're doing. And you'll hear me preach this every time I'm on stage about modeling the life of Jesus, because that's how it should be. Because I see it as it's my job to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But if we're still having a love problem, the world ain't going to see who God is on the inside of us. Because love covers all. Love covers everything. What does Scripture say? If you have not love, you have nothing. Right? So let his mindset become your motivation. We're going to jump to verse 12. My beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you. So the Apostle Paul is reminding them, listen, you've listened before, so just keep doing it, right? He's reminding them. He says, just as I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I were right there with you. Paul is saying, whatever you do when I'm with you, do that when I'm not with you. Right? So now, you must continue to make this new life, that's what we have, new life, fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. Verse 13. God will continually revitalize you, implanting you with the passion to do what pleases him. So what does all that mean? That means that if we model the life of Jesus, and if we do what we know we're supposed to do through Jesus, that God will continue revitalize you, continue lift you up, continue to build you up, continue to strengthen you. He will implant you with the passion to do what pleases him. What pleases God? Faith. Faith pleases God, church. Now, what kind of faith should we have? It's the faith in the finished work of the cross. It's the faith that makes you who you are through God. It's the faith that believing that Jesus is now living on the inside of you. It's you living from a position as a son or as a daughter and walking that out every single day. That's faith. Right? That's faith. And God, God will put it on the inside of you to do what pleases him. He'll do it. Next verse. Live a cheerful life. Sorry, that's... Without complaining or division among yourselves. I just kind of feel like Paul in this moment is saying this with a specific tone. Right? Hey, live a cheerful life. No, he's not saying it like that. He's saying, come on, church, live a cheerful life. Do it all without complaining or without division among yourselves. Why? Because he knows what those things cause. He's saying, be happy. He's saying, it's okay to be always cheerful. It's not being a cheesy Christian to always have a smile on your face and for everything to always be going okay. Stop believing that everything doesn't have to go or be okay in your life. Because if you live from a position as a son, then everything should be okay. You shouldn't have pride. You shouldn't have selfishness. You shouldn't have bad days. Because if you live your life through Jesus as he lived his life, he didn't have bad days. Yeah, Jesus had a moment of the agony of the cross where he was praying and he was just so amped up that he sweat blood. But you didn't see Jesus go to anybody else. Can you please pray for me, brother? There's nothing wrong with that, church. Hear my heart, please. But listen. No, he just did it for the joy that he knew was set before him, right? He knew what all this work and all this agony was going to bring. And yet he did it gladly. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to look at his life and I'm going to model those things. I'm not going to live my life as I've been betrayed, if I've ever been betrayed. Right? When my bills are paid, I'm in a good mood. And if ever, not that it would, my bills don't get paid, I'm still going to be in a good mood. Because I know whose I am. Right? It's simple. Live a cheerful life. Verse 15, for then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God. Seen by who? Here, right here. Even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. So what is he saying? Here's what he's saying. That everything can go well for you. Even though bad things happen, you can still be doing very well. Because here's the deal is I love Jesus. And I believe I have a great relationship with the Father. But sometimes when I see people who say that they're Christians and that they've been Christians for 40 years, but when something happens, you have no idea if they know God at all. Right? Think about this. When the world sees someone spiraling out of control that claims to know Jesus, why would they want to serve a God who does these things? Come on. Can I be honest? Because a lot of the times, church, we talk about having these meltdowns and these moments and anxiety and fear and depression. But seriously, let's look at the life of Jesus. Whenever in Scripture did it speak of Jesus having these moments in his life? It doesn't. Because he didn't. And you can't argue with me about him being perfect because he was God. Because that same power that was in him now lives in you. So what gives? Right? So when we do what we know we need to do, we will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. For you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe, offering them the words of eternal life. So here's the deal, church. Your lives were meant to shine. That means always. In any circumstance, our lives were meant to shine. Our lives are not supposed to be governed by life's circumstances, because then we say that circumstances become Lord and no longer Jesus. But if you look in Scripture, it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So where is the Spirit of the Lord, Lord of your life? That's where you'll have freedom. And where he's not Lord, that's where you won't have freedom. Right? Our lives are meant to shine. In here, our lives are meant to shine because we want people to see Jesus in us. We want people to see Jesus in this church among this body. But it's hard to see Jesus in this body when we're blasting people on Facebook and when we're doing certain things because people just don't do what we like. Right? We need to shine. Romans, verse 15, chapter 15, my bad. Now, this is where I'm going to have to go, but this is where it gets fun. Now, those who are mature in their faith can easily be recognized. Those who are mature in their faith, not if you think that you're mature, those who are mature in their faith can easily be recognized, for they don't live to please themselves. Wow. So what does that mean? Like, if you live to please yourself, then you're immature? Yeah. I didn't say it. It's in Scripture. So For they don't live to please themselves, but have learned to patiently. What is love? Love is patient, right? They have learned to patiently embrace others in their immaturity. It's hard to do. I'm not going to stand up here and say that I've nailed it and then I've just, it's hard to do. But we have to purpose in our hearts that we're going to model the life of Jesus, be patient with others, to be mature. Come on, we just have to be mature about things in the body of Christ, because there are things that really don't matter. And again, we allow those to matter more than what matters most. And then you find people who don't like what's going on, so they take people and they split churches, and all of a sudden everything's a mess. People church hop. People church shop. What is that? Somebody didn't like something that they said here, so you move on down the road, and then all of a sudden now there's something you don't like there, so then you move again. So let's find the common denominator here. Is it the churches or is it actually you? Come on, think about it. Come on, we're trying to build healthy churches. We're trying to build a healthy body. We've got to be healthy people. So we have to embrace others in their immaturity. Our goal must be to empower others to do what is right and good for them and to bring them to spiritual maturity. Notice it doesn't say that the pastor's goal is to bring people to spiritual maturity. It's your job. Pastors are just here to facilitate. Pastors are here as shepherds to make sure that wolves don't come in and try to cause division among the people. So we take our staves and we hit them in the head with it. Spiritually, of course. Right? Come on, we bring them to spiritual maturity. For even though the most powerful one of all, the anointed one, lived to please himself, his life fulfilled the scripture that says, "All the insults of those who insulted you fall upon me." Verse 4. For whatever was written beforehand is meant to instruct us in how to live. Scripture is here to teach us how to live. The scriptures impart to us, listen, there it is again, encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure what? All things. Notice it doesn't say some things, you know, just whatever that you want to endure. It says endure all things. Scripture imparts to you. Scripture gives you the strength that you need and the tools that you need and the answers that you're looking for encouragement, and so that you can endure all things. Listen, there's nothing too difficult in this life. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, right? In this world you will have tribulation. You will have troubles. You will have trials. You will have circumstances. Life will happen to you in this life. But take heart. I have overcome the world. What's he saying? Look to me. Stop looking here and look here, right? Because you can endure all things through scripture. Now, may God the source, and that there it is right there. God the source. You know what source means? Father. Father means source. Source means father. Now, may God the Father of great endurance and comfort grace you with unity among yourselves, which flows from your relationship with Jesus, the anointed one. So this is what's important about this, right? Is that a lot of the times is we don't go to the source when we have issues or when life happens. Because if we did, we would have endurance and we would have comfort. If we did, we would have unity among ourselves through the grace which God gives us, which only flows from what? Your relationship with Jesus. Again, everything flows out of knowing God, not just knowing about him, not just coming here to get your needs met, not just coming here to feel good about your day, not just coming here to get your fix for the week. It's not what it's about. It's about a relationship. That's something that you do every day. And all of this that we're talking about right now, it flows out of the relationship that you have with God. All of it. And then with the unanimous rush of passion, you will with one voice glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will bring glory. Whoops, I'm out of breath. You will bring God glory when you accept and welcome, you see, this is what we want to be for those who are new guests, right? Everyone who walks through these doors should feel valued, welcomed, loved, and important. Every single person, no matter who they are. Every single person. No matter what they put on Facebook the day before. Okay? Accept and welcome one another as partners, just as the anointed one has fully accepted you and received you as his partner. It goes all the way back to pre-K. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Okay? Verse 12. Nope, just kidding. Next book. This is my last, these are my last scriptures. We're going to get out of here, okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself. That means put it on. That means clothe yourself. That means become it. Robe yourself. Become it, okay? Robe yourself with virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful. As you endeavor to understand others. Listen, sometimes people are just hard to get. Yeah. But Scripture says to be merciful. Be merciful as we endeavor to understand others. I know who you're, I know you're thinking about people. And be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. I didn't highlight that word, but I should have. In your patience with others. Remember, what is patience? Love. Listen, if you're offended at somebody, then you have a love problem. If you can't be patient with somebody, then you have a love problem. If you can't be merciful with somebody, then you have a love problem. So if I were you, I would do everything I can to find out exactly what love is and who love is, and then let that love flow through me. Right? Because ultimately, if you truly respect yourself, you'll respect others. Truly, if you love yourself, you'll love others. Why? Because you see yourself for who you truly are, so that way you could see others for who they truly are, which is God in them. Yeah, that's good. Right? I mean, we got to give people a chance here. Why? Because you had a chance, right? Come on. There should be nobody offended in the church. Next verse. Tolerate. Notice that doesn't say, like, you have to be best friends. Tolerate. Just tolerate, right? The weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Can I get a witness that we, thank you, that we are not all at the same place in life? That doesn't mean that we're one is better than the other. Okay? We just have to tolerate those in the family of faith. Forgiving. Oh, but brother, I try to forgive, but trying to forgive is not forgiveness. It's not forgiveness. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven. Again, if you know how much you're loved, then you know how much you've been forgiven. So then you can give that same forgiveness to others. And if you can't, then you don't know who you are. Right? If you find fault, listen, you're probably thinking of someone right now, like, I got faults with this person. If you find fault with someone, release them. Sorry. Well, yes, release them. But release this same gift of forgiveness to them. Let them go. Listen, people do not owe you a thing. They don't owe you a thing. Let it go. Release the gift of forgiveness because you've been forgiven. Four, love is supreme. Love, remember, love, if you have not love, you have nothing. You can do everything good in the world. You can give to all the charitable donations. You can help every person. You can do whatever it is that you can possibly think of. But if you don't have love in your heart when you're doing it, it means nothing and it is nothing, right? So love is supreme and it must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. So if you have a love problem, then you have a maturity problem. If you can't extend forgiveness, church, to people who come to this church, then you have a maturity problem. You have a love problem. You have an identity problem. Listen, everything in our lives should flow through a relationship with Jesus. Everything about us should flow and should come out of simply knowing who he is. Not knowing about him. Knowing, having an intimate relationship. Right? I'm talking about producing the fruit, conceiving and producing, giving birth to the fruits of the Spirit of God. Right? So here's the thing is, how do you do that? I don't think that I have to tell everyone in here how babies are made, but it's through an intimate relationship. It's because you know someone. Scripture says that Mary knew no man. Listen, so if you want to birth God out of your life, if you want to birth love out of your life, then you have to know God. You have to position yourself to be loved by him, to receive forgiveness from him, to forgive yourself, to forgive others. You have to position yourself to completely be immersed in who he is, to be fathered by him, so that we can help father others in knowing God. Right? We are the ones. Church, we are the ones here. Whoever's in the outside, whoever's beyond those doors, they should walk in here and they should see God. They should see God. They should see Jesus in every single person. And it's through our unity, through us loving one another, being the church, being a strong and healthy family of faith. That's how people see God. Let's stand to our feet, church.